And up next, Paula Harris joins us with some breaking news about Giants, and we'll also get into more about disclosure on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. Paula Harris, of course, is the Italian-American photojournalist, investigative reporter in the field of extraterrestrial-related phenomena. Paula has studied extraterrestrial-related phenomena back since 1979, and here she is back on Coast to Coast. Hey, Paula, how are you?
Good. How are you, George? It's good to talk to you again.
Now, where are you now? I can't keep track of you.
I know. Well, I'm in Boulder, Colorado, but I'm always on my way somewhere. I just came back from Phoenix, Arizona. I am going to be back in Italy. I'm going to Florida to a conference I'm sponsoring in May. I have to travel. I mean, isn't that what field research is all about?
It sure is. You know, we're going to be in Boulder this weekend taping our television shows.
You are? Mm-hmm. Where?
Down at the Guyam TV studios.
Well, fantastic.
We got to get you on one of the programs. Are you in you're in Boulder a lot, aren't you?
I live here.
Oh, perfect. Perfect.
I live here. And I have to tell you a story. I am moving to a little condo that I've just acquired. And I was looking at the realty agent that was selling it, and the name of the agent was Chris Carter. And I figured, oh, God, here I am again, synchronicity. Chris Carter is the realty agent that sold the condo. And, of course, as everyone knows, he is the creator of the X-Files. So I'm saying, I wonder what this means. It means that this is the place that I need to live. So anyway, I'm here. I'd love to connect with you. And that would be great. I haven't seen you in a while.
Oh, that'll be fun. What's new with you besides that, then?
Well, a whole bunch of things. I think the thing that's most important, and I'll talk about a lot, you mentioned disclosure, a lot of things, is that when I went to Italy in November, it was November 9th, I spoke in Turin, which is a big city in Italy. I spoke as part of a conference there. They paid for me to go over. And while I was in the hotel, I got a call from a gentleman named Mario Borghesio, and I knew who he was, and he met with me. He had his entourage, his bodyguards came with him, and he is from the EU Parliament, from the the European Parliament, and he wanted to meet with me because he knew I was there, and he said to me, "Look, I want to open this UFO question with the Parliament. I brought it up once. They thought I was a crazy old man." He says, "I think it's the most important question ever. I was hoping you'd give me a hand." And I said, "Sure." You know, my book had just been translated into Italian, and it's The Stargate to a New Reality, and it's got 28 interviews, including the former defense minister of Canada. So I said, "Look, it's a serious question. For some countries, it is a matter of national security. I mean, pilots that are seeing this are, you know, not briefed. They're confused. Astronauts, all the people that are involved were not briefed. And maybe you'd like to use that card, whatever, when you talk about this." And he asked me, he said, "Well, who can I talk to? Can I come to the States? Can I speak to some people?" And, of course, I suggested the citizen hearing that's going to be April 28th to May 3rd, which I have to cover for Europe, and that's Steve Bassett's citizen hearing with all the whistleblowers. I mean, it's like another disclosure project. So the fact that the economic union, that we have a parliamentarian, that he's interested in this, that he wants the real data, blew me out of the water. So that's one little news item for disclosure that you might want to share.
All right, super. Now, let's talk a little bit about Giants. What have you uncovered here?
Well, what happened was that since I was there, I was invited to the island of Sardinia in Italy. It's near Sicily. It's down on the toe of the boot. And I was there doing a small conference. And while I was there, this is what happens. People bring me UFO videos. They bring me photos. And, people could go on my website to see the photos. This gentleman wanted me to come out to his land. It was a big farm. And he started to talk to me about artifacts that he had dug up on his land. Now, He had with him his grandfather, his uncle, and several, older members of his family, his whole family. There's a video on my website of my interviewing him, because everything I do is with a tape recorder. So I got his testimony. He said, there's hidden archaeology on this island. We have these tombs called Nuraghi, as the Italians know, and he says they're very mystical. They're in certain star constellations like the pyramids. And he said, there's also large tombs that suggest there were 15-foot-tall people in ancient times. He said, but my family and several families have dug up bones, femurs. He showed me a femur. He showed me a large tooth. He showed me a jaw, and they're all on my website. He says, we've been threatened by this. He said, this goes against traditional archaeology. He said, we get visits from archaeologists, from scientists who tell us not to talk about it. Sometimes when we suggest that they go and analyze it, we don't get the pieces back. And he took me into his house and showed me bones, and they are not bovine teeth, and they are not regular, animal bones. These are bones of human bones. And he said, well, look, the legends have it that there were giants on this territory anyway, because you know that legends like the Native American legends are verbal. They go down from generation to generation to generation. For anybody who wants to see this, it's on my website. I also gave some images to Lex. And okay, I said, well, good. I don't know what I could do for you. So what I ended up doing is getting hold of the Discovery Channel in England and saying, get on down there. Cover this. This is part of the ancient alien past that's been hidden. It isn't of my competency because I do UFOs. And so they gave me UFO footage, which is also on my website. So, I mean, I'm sure this is not new to you, George, because if you've had a lot of people that have talked about this.
Well, we have. I did get an email from an equine dentist today, and he says, check to make sure those aren't horse teeth. When you were talking about the analysis of some of these specimens, what did they do? They keep them, or what happens?
Well, he's hidden them because he's been threatened so much. But also horse teeth. This is a man who has horses. He has cows. They have their animals there. They know the difference. I mean, I wouldn't, but they certainly do, because this is an agricultural island, Sardinia, and they and I also saw femurs, large femurs and other bones. People that know I'm there want disclosure, and they figure if they can tell me about it and I can bring the photos. I have two of his books that are filled with photos, but they're in Italian, so it's not going to help, disclose those. They figure if I can get the information out of the country, that somebody will take note, because it's very hard when it's within the country and you have traditional archaeology covering it up. Now, what I did is also contact Klaus Dohna, who is a very famous, he's like Eric Van Dunnigan. He works with ancient aliens. And he said he'd been down there, and he knows this is the case. He knows that there are stories of giants on the island of Sardinia. And concurrently, in November, an article came out about giants under Athens, that Jerry and Kathy Wills had been doing work in Athens, and underneath, while they were digging for the metro, they found skeletons of 16-foot, 4-inch-tall people. So, we've got these myths, the Colossus of Rhodes, the giants, and what we think are myths could possibly be reality, and I believe that, but there's a whole show dedicated to this. So, the Ancient Aliens show on the History Channel. So what the story is slowly but surely we're piecing together a puzzle of ancient times which has been hidden from us for various reasons.
Well, there's no question. Paula, do you think we'll ever really get these answers?
Well, it takes courage, because we need science. We need the scientific community. We need science to jump on the bandwagon and say, okay, I'll analyze this. I'll risk my reputation. For most scientists, it's the death knell. If you touch UFOs, if you touch artifacts. I had gone down to in October to the Roswell debris field with James Fox, you know, the documentary maker,
sure.
And we were there with Frank Kimmler, who was a scientist, and he found pieces while we were there, and I you know, interviewed him, and I said, "You're a scientist. You are actually a geologist. You can look at these things. You can have them analyzed." And he says, "Not only does it take a lot of money," and he told me in the thousands, "but," he says, "you have to give away the pieces and hope they come back." So what happens even with Sardinia, if you sent it to a lab and they don't want the information out, you don't get it back. So we need some honest science. We need a broad mind, an open mind, and we need to keep plugging at it. We need to keep going for it.
Paula, let me ask you a little bit about the Vatican, what might be happening there. Of course, with the Pope's resignation, any tie-in at all to the possibility that they were going to make an announcement about ETs or anything like that, or is that far-fetched?
No, I think there's other things, deep, dark, going on there.
Yeah.
I think that we're talking about, you know, possible scandals or so forth. But the announcement was made. The announcement was made in 2009 by Father Funes. He is the Vatican Observatory chief scientist. He's an astronomer. He's an Argentinian priest, a Jesuit. And he says three things, George. I think you remember this. He said, number one, the ETs are our brothers and sisters, and he's not talking about the grace. Then he says, okay, it's not against your religion to believe in them. And then the third thing he said blew me out of the water. He says, you know, Jesus didn't need to die for them because they weren't born with original sin. Well, that's dogma. And I'm wondering what he's setting up. I mean, he didn't need to say the third thing. I mean, it was enough to say there are brothers and sisters. Why are you adding that he didn't need to die for them because they didn't have original sin? My first thought was, how do you know? And for sure, I know that there are probably some many, many files in the Vatican archives that would help with disclosure.
Soon enough, I hope. That would be dramatic if we ever get that kind of disclosure coming from that end.
Well, I'm just happy that your EU Parliament's looking into it, and Mario Borghese was really happy when Medev came out in Russia, you know, and talked about the ETs. Now, people thought he was joking. Grant Cameron and I do not think he was joking, because you don't joke about ETs walking around among us if you are a chief political figure in Russia, and then it goes viral. So I think that you know, Mario Borghese was happy, and he called me here in America, and he said, look, he says, I'm getting support now from my enemies because they saw Russia came forth. So the more people, the more, you know, top-level politicians, the more people from different countries that have courage to look into this, I can't give you a date, but it's got to come out.
What drives you, Paula? You don't give up. You don't give up.
Well, no, I know, but I want to, you know, you have intellectual curiosity. I think it started with I certainly am not a contactee. In fact, every time I hear stories, I go, why can't I see anything? Or why wasn't I contacted?
You deserve to, right?
I know. I even say that to them. I look up in the sky, even in Sardinia, but, you know, I was sitting in a sky watch situation because they have sightings all the time. And I go, because I'm here, would you please appear up there, and nothing happened. And I think that what drives me was my connection with these people. And I will mention them because I miss them so much. Dr. J. Allen Hynek, with whom I worked for 6 years, very passionate about finding out the truth. John Mack, with whom I worked, with Monsignor Corrado Balducci, who was a very close friend. And I did a lot of lectures with him. And, of course, my very closest friend, Colonel Philip Corso, who talked to me very clearly about his involvement in back engineering in the Pentagon, and that this was true, and that they, you know, what the mentality meant, the military mentality is with, you know, back engineering and so forth. You know, the fact that the technology is so important to them and not the beings, but the technology. And so with him, with a lot of these people that are no longer with us, John Mack, boy, do I ever miss them.
Oh, they're all gone now. Jeez. Bud Hopkins, gone.
Yeah. And we're losing these wonderful people, and it's my job to archive their, you know, their stories and interview them, and my books are filled with that. Paul Hellyer, did you know he was 90? 90 years old? This is the former defense minister.
He sat next to me for dinner at one of Steve Bassett's events. He didn't look that old. Wow.
Yeah, he's having his 90th birthday. I'm going to his 90th birthday party. He's invited me. And he's written an incredible book called The Light at the End of the Tunnel, a manual, a survival manual for the human species. And people should buy that because he talks about not only the way society is set up with our monetary system, but he talks about secrets and about the UFO situation phenomena as being a major important secret that's been kept from everybody. Well, this is no person off the street. This is a defense minister, you know, of Canada. So, you know, when you have these top-level people that are risking their lives, what I do is nothing. All I'm doing is recording their words. I mean, that's all I'm doing. I'm archiving for the future, George, because I'm getting a little bit discouraged.
Why? Discouraged? Why?
Well, it's the field. I don't know how to tell you, but it's really the field. First, number one, I'm going to be honest with you. There are very few women in the field that are highlighted. Linda is fantastic, Linda Howe and Leslie Kane, and other people. But I sponsored an all-woman conference in Glen Rose, Texas, to give a special award to Angela Joyner, who lost her job over the Stephenville sighting.
Texas thing, yeah, I remember that.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And in fact, you played Lady in Red, and I can't believe the synchronicity because everybody, all the women had to wear red.
It's a great song.
Yeah, all the women had to wear red because it was an all-woman conference, and we had, you know, we had Angela Joyner, Dr. Lynn Kitai, Carol Rosin. We had Lisa Romanek and Tracy Austin Peters, and we did an incredible job, so much so that the Texas was really happy. And so even in my conference that I'm sponsoring on the 10th to the 12th of May this year, I have 5 women and 4 men. I really am getting discouraged because it's very difficult. For instance, if you're not part of a circuit, a lecture circuit, the material of Sardinia, and I have more to tell you on that, it can't come out. I don't know where to put it. There's not a magazine. There's one magazine, but I don't know where to send my research. And the research needs to come out when I do it. It can't come out 10 months later. And so I get discouraged because often it's more of a, you know, it's more of a circuit. It's very difficult to, I haven't lectured in about 2 years. Unless I do it at the conferences I'm sponsoring. So it's very difficult. And I keep going because anymore, I have to get this before they die. I have to get this this information out before people are no longer with us. And I'm convinced that in 200 years, they'll go to some library and they'll find the books, and I've written 5 of them. With everybody's word-for-word interviews, they'll know from firsthand sources, and I'm a teacher. I have a master's in education. I used to give assignments where you had to go to the firsthand source. You couldn't get it off the internet.
Well, talking about firsthand sources, Paula, I want to talk about your latest work when we come right back. Hey, March 16th, Edison, New Jersey, my very first event in the New Jersey area ever. So come on out and see me. Information under our calendar schedule at coasttocoastam.com. It's also in the highlights reel. Go take a look. March 16th, I'll be there Saturday in Edison, New Jersey. And welcome back to Coast with Paula Harris, of course. Paula, let's talk a little bit about your new work, UFOs, How Does One Speak to a Ball of Light? Tell me about the title.
Well, basically, I wanted to include orb or light phenomenon in that title because what happens is sometimes we eliminate phenomena. You know, you asked me once, is paranormal phenomena connected with UFO phenomena? Mm-hmm. Well, absolutely. And so what we had going on in southern Italy, again, it's Italy near near Sicily, was we had these balls of light coming out of the water in near a small town called Caronia. And we had military policemen, we had intelligence people, we had carabinieri, state policemen down there, trying to figure out what was going on, because these balls of light were going in homes, and the cell phones would charge by themselves, and they would interact with the electrical appliances, and the homes would self-combust. It never, those lights never harmed people. In fact, the people saw them with, you know, in daylight go around their cats and dogs, and they saw them going through the homes, these orbs. And so there was no solution to it because the houses were catching on fire. So, the logic is that you shut off the electricity, and it was still happening after the electricity was shut off. So what they ended up doing is putting surveillance cameras inside, you know, on poles in the town, and they had to, completely evacuate the town because they couldn't understand what it was. And I had a meeting with one of the policemen that was working on this, one of the investigators, and he said, Paula, it is a UFO-type phenomenon because they're coming out of the water. So we have a feeling they have a base in the water. Plus, we're seeing craft up in the sky. But our hands are tied. We can't do anything. We have no explanation. We're, you know, very baffled. And so our only solution is to move the people. So, you know, this is just one of the cases I talk about as far as light or orb phenomenon. You know, that even the Phoenix lights had orbs attached to it. Some of the UFO phenomenon is around balls of light. And, of course, what happens is if I put this on my Facebook, you know, people answer me, how do you speak to a ball of light? They all go, yeah, telepathically. Telepathically, you just speak to it. I go, I know that. I know it's just that what I want to do, George, I don't know if you understand this, is I want to bring to light different parts of the phenomenon.
Some people have thought that the orbs are disembodied spirits, something from the hereafter. Possible?
I think it's all of it. Yeah. I think that some photos have your grandmother and grandfather in orb form in the photo, especially I do a show on orbs, and I have, especially when people are celebrating, they're all over the place, and they're not pieces of dust, just pieces of dust thing. You know, what's incredible, and I don't think people understand, with our technology getting a little bit more sensitive in the digital cameras, we are capturing on digital cameras a lot more than we used to. And this is what brings me now to the second Sardinian case, where this gentleman came up and showed me the display on his camera of six alien beings floating above his property that came down from an orb, a flash of light.
That's what we've got posted, right?
Yeah, you've got that posted. I mean, he said he went out, and again, these people have large parcels of land they live on in a country house. He looked up in the sky, he saw this big orb. He said then he ran in to get his camera. He took pictures, and he saw these beings. I think there's five of them. They look like they're holding some. To me, they look like stormtroopers. And he said he called his wife, and you know, they witnessed this, and then they witnessed this flashing ball that came towards them. And, of course, he got it all on camera, and I saw the display. So this is not Photoshopped for those people that are, you know, debunking everything. This guy would never, he doesn't even know it's Photoshop. But so it's a mystery. And he said, I'll give you this picture. I'll tell you my name. You can disclose this to the world. He said it was unexpected. And I have no idea what those beings were doing. They were floating above, you know, the grass.
Just makes you shake your head, doesn't it, Paula?
Yeah, it does. But I'm glad that, you know, I said to him, well, are you interested in UFOs? He said, no, and I never want to do this again, but I'll give it to you. He said, because you can figure it out, which I can't, you know, I can't. But my job is just to show the world, you know, this phenomenon in different forms. And, you know, you were talking about orbs as being disembodied entities. I also think, I mean, I've seen some photos that some contactees have taken, that that could be the media or the display in which some of the beings manifest. In other words, they manifest first in light, and then they manifest in physical. And you know, George, I wish people would study this like in the university. It's so frustrating to not be able to share this and talk with other people about this stuff.
That's true. That's true. Russell Crowe just had a pretty good UFO experience down in Australia.
Yeah.
Had a pretty good video of it, too. So there's strange things going on.
Yeah, I believe Russell Crowe's video is very courageous of him, but I've looked on the internet and half the people have debunked it already.
I know it.
And for me as a researcher, I say, look, research is not your opinion. it's not like if you believe it's real, if you don't believe it's real. It's like if I put up there anything, they go, oh, it's a hoax. So I'll say, did you talk to the witness? Even in the Sardinian case, why don't you go and talk to Luigi Muscas, who has the artifacts of the giants? You know what the answer is? Well, we don't have the money, and we don't travel, and we can't go there. And well, of course they can't. But then trust the research of someone that does go there, that does talk to somebody. Usually when I do a case, especially a contactee case, I go to the place three times before I even do the story. Just, I have to go there because I have to, like, digest what they're telling me and see if they're telling me the truth. So I think that if you see a photo, anything that you doubt, my advice to you, advice, is talk to the witness. Talk to who took it. Talk to how they felt. You know, say, ask them all kinds of questions like a detective would. Don't just look at the photo and say, Photoshop.
Well, but it's easy to say that nowadays, Paul, isn't it?
Well, I don't do it because I'm fascinated with why they would take it.
Oh, I know.
What?
I know.
You know, why would you Photoshop something? Would you tell me you're not going to get money from it, and who cares? You know, I don't think that many people care about UFOs. So why would you do it? So as a logical investigative reporter, I have to talk to why you did it, if you did it. But I'm telling you that 80% of the real cases are being debunked without any research.
That's true. So where do we go with, you know, you were talking about the John Macks who are gone, the Bud Hopkins who are gone, Philip Corso's gone, Hynek. I want to talk with you about him in a second. What's the new crop of researchers, the Richard Dolans, the Paula Harrises? Will you folks be able to carry the ball?
Well, it's discouraging. Would you believe me if I told you it's discouraging? It's really
hard.
Yeah,
sure it is. I mean, I hear it from Linda all the time.
Oh, my money is going there. I mean, I don't have anybody sponsoring this. Like, just going to Sardinia was a side trip.
You don't get rich doing UFOs, as you know.
No, and you don't get rich with books. And my God, if they looked at what I get nothing. Zero. It's gas for my car, what I make on books. I mean, I don't think people read anymore. It's so frustrating for me as a teacher. You know, I just read Grant Cameron's new book, and I was blown out of the water. Oh, my God, what an incredible book. I think it's called UFOs, Area 51 and Government
Informant. Yeah, he was on with George Knapp a few weeks ago.
Yeah, but, I mean, the guy is incredible. He does it, and add him to the group because he's one of the best researchers in the world. I mean, everybody he mentioned there, I knew what had happened because I date back to the old days. I knew who he was talking about, and I thought he's got the pieces to the puzzle. Am I the only one that's reading my colleague's books? I'm going. Am I the only one that reads like Richard Dolan, even though it's big, Richard Dolan's book? And I read UFO Highway, Anthony Sanchez. I've read all the latest books that have come out, and I thought, well, I got to do that because I'm connecting dots. And what I know from what people have told me, and then the person that's actually done the research, gives me a whole entire picture. I mean, Grant Cameron's book really did it to me.
It was an eye-opener, wasn't it?
Yeah. The new crop of researchers. Well, I've got a question for you. How can we attract more young people?
Well, that's a good question, and let me tell you what you face. Most young people, and I would say 18 to 25, are interested primarily in investigating ghosts. You know, television has done a good job pushing that. And they tend, if they want to go out and do something and have some fun and investigate, they're into the ghost arena. I don't think there are many people interested in the UFO arena like there used to be, Paula. Do you think I'm right?
Absolutely right. You've got it. And I have no idea, as a researcher who cares about whether we are part of a larger cosmos, and I think John Mack did too, who cares to maybe meet these cosmic neighbors. As a researcher, it's really difficult to know that all this work, this body of work, where is it going to go? I mean, I've had long conversations. I mean, I can send it to the UFO Museum. I have about 300 audio tapes. I have all kinds of files. I have more X-Files than the X-Files. You know, where do I put this stuff? And my thoughts were, can we go to a university and tell them to get a course that's legitimate and have kids read, for one thing, and study this?
Lots of people are still seeing, Paula, these huge triangular-shaped objects out there. A lot of them are by military bases. Makes one suspect that maybe it's hidden there. I don't think so. They're too big. What do you think they are?
Well, you know, and Bob Lazar's mentioned also in Grant's book. I am one researcher who buys the Bob Lazar story. Again, it's the story. Why would he ever make that up? Why would he ever live through all that hassle that he had to go through? He went through hell. A lot of these people that are whistleblowers have had it with the UFO community at large, and then what they do is go underground because they're sick of it, and they're the real people. And so, just logically, George, if you're involved with crash retrieval, and I've met many people who were involved with crash retrieval, and you have artifacts, you have technology, you're not going to throw it in the trash. And the first, and we covered the 1945 crash at San Antonio, New Mexico. That was the first one that, you know, they recovered, maybe, and they're going to want that technology. That was 60 years ago. You're telling me that 60 years we haven't made anything that looks like that? So it's very, very difficult to tell whether it's our stuff or their stuff anymore. Now, if it's around the Nevada area, I don't know if the aliens are going to want to be around Nevada. I know that a lot of the, in Grant Cameron's book, he talks about one being near a nuclear facility near Canada. You have to see where the ones that are around a nuclear facility, the one that Jean-Jacques Dubarc saw as part of the Cometa report, and I interviewed him. He's a pilot. He saw it over Paris. It was over a nuclear plant, too. Those guys are not our stuff. Those guys are hanging out watching our nuclear capacity on the Earth. The ball of light orb, UFO that Robert Sala saw at Malmstrom Air Force Base is not our stuff. You know, you have to see where it is. You have to see for what purpose. A lot of the contactees that have had contact, I don't think that's our stuff. You know, it's an attempt to go to the people. And, you know, I was just listening to one of your quotes about going, the people being the ones to bring forth the truth.
That's the only way it's going to happen.
Well, you know, the people have to move here. They're going to have to, we say in Italian, scendere in piazza, which means go down into the plaza altogether. You know, the only reason I do lectures or talks, because there's no commercial gain there, is because I'm trying to tell these people, if you really care, if you really want to know, you're going to have to demand it. And if you have to demand it, then you're going to have to say, we want the truth, we can handle it. And you're going to all have to do it together. And so glad the economic union is involved in this too now, because Europe would be involved. And maybe disclosure will come because it's demanded by the people. It certainly isn't going to come from the top down. I mean, you always ask me about the Obama situation. Well, there's no way, Jose.
No.
It's not. There's no way. He's got so much on his plate. Can you see him going and saying UFOs are real?
Nope. Not during this era. Not at this point. Paula, are we still getting cases of mutilations of animals? Are we still getting cases of abductions of people?
Well, the mutilations of animals is really relegated to my colleague, my illustrious colleague, Linda Howe. She does such a good job. But I know that Chuck Zukowski here in Colorado is still working on some cases where there have been some mutilations of cattle. But there, you don't know whether that's a copycat phenomenon and who's doing that for sure. As far as abductions, I can only give you an opinion, and I'm saying it's an opinion. When I talked to John Mack, what he believed was that the gray abduction scenario was winding down and the people were getting directly downloaded, that whoever was doing the abductions by the extraterrestrial biological entities there, the grays, they had diminished. In other words, they had gone home, they had diminished. And John told me, you know what's happening now, Paula? People are getting directly downloaded. They're getting ideas. They're getting flashes. They're almost being indoctrinated while they're walking around or sleeping at night or getting these impressions. He says they're getting them directly. And I kind of agree with him. I think there's a lot of people, and it, some of it may appear to be spiritual or some of it may appear to be esoteric. So it's about keeping, number one, the number one message may be, George, to save the ecology of this planet. That may be the number one right now message. In any way we can do it. Number two message is to try to take some power in our own hands and try to guide this situation that's so dangerous on this planet politically. And so I think we may be getting some inspiration because I believe in the prime directive of Star Trek. I don't think they're going to come down here and be our saviors. Right. I don't think they're going to be our gurus. They're not alien gurus. But I think they're going to inspire us to do something.
Why do you think they shut down those missile silos?
Oh, my goodness. All my research, uh-huh. It's all around nuclear. It's all around nuclear. The day the Earth stood still, it's all around. When, as Grant Cameron says, when the kids discovered the matches, it was something about nuclear energy. And keep in mind that the French did 800 H-bomb tests on the island, on the Bikini Islands there in Polynesia. 800. They did 800. We did more than that in India.
That's enough to wake somebody up, isn't it?
Oh, my God. 800. And the interview that I did, and I don't talk about this very often, it's in my first book, Connecting the Dots, with Guy Andronique, who was present. He was a French geophysicist. He was in the military. He said that he had two UFO flyovers. Two. They did not. The UFOs, there were three of them. They were, like green lights. He said they even chased them. He said they didn't do anything except fly over. Well, what does that tell you? They didn't. I mean, there were 3 feet of dead fish on the runways. 3 feet of dead fish. You know, so, I mean, these UFOs are flying over going, are you people crazy? But they don't do anything to us. If they were going to destroy us, if they were going to give us a warning, they should have, shone down a blue beam and said, you people are crazy. You're killing the coral in your oceans and whatever. So whatever is up there, and I don't think that it's gray aliens, okay, that's one group. I think whoever is up there that's concerned about humanity is giving us warnings like Maelstrom. Hey, you got Minuteman missiles. Some accident, it's over.
Well, they better do it soon, Paula. They better jump in soon. We'll be back in a moment. Phone calls with Paula Harris next on Coast to Coast AM.